time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I hope you don't mind me saying this. Even if you do, I'm going to say it because it doesn't really matter. First of all, good morning to you here. It is what? The 26th of May. 26th of May, 2017. Boy, where does time go? Where does life go? You know, I had an opportunity yesterday. I just caught a couple playbacks of the show. I was doing some work. And I said, I said something during that show. I want to hear that again. And so I clicked onto it and I listened to it. Normally I don't listen to myself. It makes me nervous. I'm back to listen to it. You know, I hope you guys don't mind me saying this. We're kicking some butt, aren't we? This is some great stuff, man. This is some great stuff. And my heart just goes out to all those poor guys that are sitting out there that are frustrated in their life, living in the low level of Christianity, have no idea what's going on, have no idea the power that's available to us. My heart just screams for those guys. We'll be having millions of people tuning into this thing because this attitude that the Lord is developing in our heart, man, this is going to shake the earth. This is going to shake America. This attitude. I think I told you this. I remember about a year ago, maybe it's a little bit longer now. I was listening to Michael Savage, the Savage Nation. He's not saved. He's not even close to saved. But Savage, a lot of times, will go to the scriptures and read the scriptures. I think he's a non-practicing Jew. But he'll read. He's smart enough to go to the Bible because of the wisdom that's in the Bible. And I'll never forget what he said. It just kind of, you know, again, one of those arrows hit me right in the face. He said this: the only thing that's going to save America is a more militant Christianity. Wow. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violent and violent men taken by force. And as much as we, listen, fellas, as much as we don't like it, Bible's full of violence, full of it. It's just full of it. The thing that separates the Bible from everything else is that the Bible teaches violence as a last resort. But it does teach us that there's a time for violence. There's a time for war. There is a time for war. And you look at all the crap that the disciples went through. And you look at all the crap that's going on around America, around the world, even today, the violence against Christianity. And the only thing that's going to save, see, Christianity is not going to fail. The only thing that's going to save Western civilization is a more aggressive, as Savage said, more violent Christianity. Guys, come on, man. Come on. I was thinking about it again this morning. I'm 64. Or as people like to say, I'll be 65 next birthday. You just ask somebody, how old are you? I'll be 65. I don't care what you'll be. What are you right now? Because you may not be that. You may never get there. What are you? I'm 64 going on 65. Really? Okay, well, I'm 64 right now, and I don't know what I'm going on, okay? But I know this. All of us, our time is limited. We all have a limited amount of time. And I often have pondered the situation of looking back on my life and wondering, man, if I'd have just done something there, if I just spoke up there, man, if I'd have just pushed back there. And to me, that's going to be one of the saddest parts of my life is when I stand before the Lord and he replays my life and I see all the opportunities where I could have made a difference and didn't make them. Why don't we? I'm going to dig into some of that. I'm going to show you something else. The Lord's everywhere, by the way. Michelle was telling me that this morning. She was reading the scriptures. I was doing some prep work over here. Lord's everywhere. She just kind of said that out of nowhere. She said, no, honey, Jesus is everywhere. He is. He's everywhere. He visited me last night in a funny sort of way. I mean, you just never know. I was in my backyard trying to kill some moles. What a job that is. Anybody know how to kill moles? There's dudes out there making me mad. They can't even see. I'm out there with my .22 rate trying to pop them underground. And I looked around, my son-in-law, Isaiah, says, hey, look, there's a skunk. Now, big deal, it's a skunk. But I looked, and it was a baby skunk, not that big. And then I looked a little bit farther, and there was his brother. And then I looked a little bit farther, and there was his sister. And I looked at all of a sudden, there were four of them. They looked like little kittens. They're out running around in my backyard, these skunks. What's going on? These four skunks here. What's going on? So they look so cute. And then we watched them for a little while, and they went back, and here they're hiding under my shed. I haven't seen Mommy and Daddy. Maybe Mommy and Daddy got killed, you know. So these little skunks, these baby skunks, who I did a little research, they can't squirt till they're about 3 months old. So these are unsquirtable skunks right now. They're not going to make it very long, because they're treading into enemy held territory, and they don't even know it. But here's what the Lord showed me last night. I had that 22 in my hand, and I'm thinking, my dogs are going to come out here later on, and he's going to smell this skunk, and he's going to chase that skunk, and he's going to squirt on Daisy, and Daisy's going to bring that stink into the house. I might as well get it over right now. I might as well pop these dudes. I'm just going to pop every one of them, so there ain't no stinking going on in my house. You know what? I couldn't do it. I could not snuff out that little life. Those cute little things running through my yard, I could not snuff them out. I'm standing there, I'm thinking, why can't I shoot these things? I said, these things are just, they're so precious and defenseless. I can't shoot these. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? What about my babies? Easy, criminy. How have we become so calloused that I can't even shoot a skunk? Yet by thousands and thousands a day, little children are going into the abortion clinics being ripped apart. Man, oh man, we have become so calloused, haven't we? I mean, really, I could not shoot those cute, four cute little skunks. And they're going to spray my dog as sure as I'm sitting here. And I'm going to be so ticked off that I didn't pop them when I had a chance. They're probably not going to make it very long, because if they don't have a mommy and a daddy, they're going to come out and some predator is going to be able to get them. So I want to share that with you. Lord's everywhere. Now I want to show you something else. I want to get into some stuff today, but I want to share something else. Hey, by the way, dozen of you signed up already for boot camp. We only have room for about 30. That's what we're trying to cut it off at. 12 people have already gone online and signed up for boot camp. I got a video I'm going to play. When do I play that, Lord? Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to play that right now. I'll play that video for you right now. I'm going to ask you a question. I said yesterday on the show, I think it was yesterday, what is courage? Courage is very simply doing what you're afraid to do. Get right down to it. Courage is doing what you're afraid to do. We're so controlled by fear. Most of us are. And often, most times, my experience, the thing that you fear never happens. Fear comes from some place. You know, the Bible calls it the spirit. Jesus said, Paul said, I'm not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. There's a difference between being afraid and being unnaturally afraid. They're not the same thing. See, I'm fearful. That skunk comes walking up on my porch, I'm fearful. But I don't lay in my bed at night afraid of skunks. You understand the difference? So fear is protective, but a spirit of fear is destructive. Most of us are operating under a spirit of fear. So we have to ask ourselves, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Hey, what are you afraid of? See, most guys won't come to the boot camp. When I say that, many people will not come because they're afraid. They've never been to anything like that. It scares them. They don't want to do it. So here's what I say. Do what you're afraid of, will you? Do what you're afraid of. And eventually hair begins to grow on your chest. You feel like you're a man again and all gets good. And it's this kingdom of God, from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. We have to reclaim this kingdom that's been stolen from us. I don't know how it's going to play out. But if you can't see that the enemy is actively fighting to destroy Christianity, Western civilization, dare I say it again, the WASPs. If you can't see it, you're almost beyond help. And I hear people say, well, we've got to pray. I could get into that too. What does that mean, to pray? Paul said, pray without ceasing. What do you pray for? When you sit down and you have your prayer life, what do you pray for? Because, see, what you pray shows your heart. If you sit down and you're doing your prayer, is it all about you? Praying all about you, and Lord, help me have this, and Lord, help me have this, and Lord, protect me from this, and Lord, protect my children from this, and Lord, protect this for me, and do this, or are you saying, Lord, use me, Lord. Use me as a living sacrifice. Lord, shoot me as an arrow. Shoot me where I can do the most impact for you. And Lord, tear down those kingdoms, Lord. Bring down that pedophile ring. Lord, bring that down. Lord, bring down that ungodly government. Lord, help me to bring that. Is that the kind of prayers that you're praying? And I would say no, because for the most part, we don't believe in the power of prayer anymore. If we did, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in, because all power is given unto us, both in heaven and earth. Jesus said that. So there's no, absolutely no reason on God's green earth why those demonic people are running Washington, D.C. There's no reason other than we're afraid. We're afraid. I want to help you get over your fear. Jared, see if you can find on there the link that I sent you today. It's a YouTube. It's a one of those Coach Dave Live videos I made a long time ago. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Let's start show off, although we're already 10 minutes into it. What's this, 5 minutes? Go ahead and play that thing, Jared. You got that up there.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswithviews.tv at newswithviews.com. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoy these little videos. Got a question. I've been pondering it for a couple months now. I look at what's going on all across the spectrum of America. I see Christianity appears to be under attack, and saw what happened with the Benham brothers. We saw what happened with Phil Robertson. I actually went through a battle of my own for standing up and speaking the truth. And let me ask you a question. What are you afraid of? What is it you are afraid of? See, one of the reasons that we're in the mess that we're in today, folks, is because God-fearing people have fallen into this whole idea of political correctness. In other words, not speaking what's on our mind. Political correctness is nothing more than a form of lying. That's really all it is. It's learning not to say what you really think. And because of that, because men of faith in particular have silenced their mouth, no longer stand up and speak what they feel, or better yet, what the oracles of God are, because men of God no longer do that, we see that the other side is running rampant all over America. Got to ask you again, what are you afraid of? I look at those guys on TV. I look at Don Lemon on CNN, that Chris Hayes, Anderson Cooper. These are nothing but a bunch of sissy men, just little college boys, little favored college boys who somehow get a television show on CNN or Fox News, and some we become intimidated by them. We're afraid of what they say. Or look at our elected officials. John Kerry, are you kidding me? Hillary Clinton, Dick Durbin, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi. Who are these people that are getting the rest of us to keep our mouths shut? What are you afraid of? See, the truth of the matter is, folks, they're bringing communism and Marxism and all type of atheism. They're bringing it right into our living room, and they are daring us to stand up and say anything about it. The men of God, for whatever reason, have lost their courage in America. What is it you're afraid of? Every day when I get up, one of the things I do is I pop open my cell phone. I look at my cell phone, because on my cell phone, I've got the picture of my granddaughter. And every day when I go out the door, I keep in mind this. Everything that I do is for her betterment. If I don't stand and fight now, if I don't push back against this stuff now, what type of nation will there be left for my grandchildren that are following? The scripture says that a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I'm going to tell you something. Christian men have lost their courage. What is it that you're afraid of? I look at Nancy Pelosi. If she lived in my neighborhood, I wouldn't even peek out the curtains when she drove by. Who do these people think they are that they are silencing us? But see, here's the truth. If they silence us, they silence the mouth of God. See, the time is coming in America, just like we saw in the movie Braveheart, when they got out there and they said, listen, you're going to, at some point, you're going to want to come back here and do this over. I'm paraphrasing it. You'll give everything you had to be able to come back here and make it right. That's where we are, folks. What is it you're afraid of? Cry loud, spare not, lift your voice like a trumpet. That's what the scripture says. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what the scripture said. What is it you're afraid of? There are many right now, here today, who are depending on you and me to no longer back down and cower, but to stand up and speak the truth in the face of adversity. What is it you're afraid of? This is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, newswithfuse.com.
Wow, that's pretty good. I made that back in 2014. What is it you're afraid of? Why are Christian men so cowardly? Anybody have a solution for that one? Are you still hearing me? My internet's been acting up. Give me a thumbs up if you still hear me. Thanks, Larry.
Yep.
What is it really?
We love our lives too much.
We do, Rich. We love our lives too much. We look around. We don't love those around us enough. If we could see what's happening to us, if we could really understand the impact of what's going on around us and how it's going to impact our grandchildren, we would have already moved. We would have already acted. Somebody else? Get Hebrews 1 up there, Jared, if you can. Hebrews 1. Go ahead, George. It is George, isn't it?
Yeah, Coach, I've thought a lot about this, and I think, because I know there was a time in my life I didn't do this, but I think a lot of Christians, they really don't think really deep down that one day they're going to stand before Jesus Christ and have to answer and take account for everything they did.
Yeah, I think so. It's a delusion, isn't it? Well, hey, George, it's the same thing. We think Jesus loves us. We're going to be raptured out of here, and that's it, man. It's okay. It'll all be okay for us. See, we can't. We're so heavenly conscious. We're no earthly good. We don't understand the significance that everybody's gonna. The ultimate fear is death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Where is it? See, if you're not afraid of death, what is there to be afraid of? Hey, Roger, if you're not afraid of death, what is there to be afraid of?
Dave,
yes.
Same thing. Jesus left us, we're going to be raptured.
The reason, I think one of the reasons the parents, they just isolate on their own kid. They believe if I just spend time raising my child up well, it'll be okay. And they put no emphasis on the culture the kid's going to be going into.
Roger, let me give you an example of that. My daughter Abby and I were out in my ice cream truck the other day. Some of you know we got an ice cream truck that we do ministry out of. And Abby went with me for the first time. She took her little 6-year-old Reese with us, my granddaughter. We drove out into some of the, let me say this in the right way, some of the harder areas of our community, places where people don't usually go. We saw some of the living conditions some of these little kids live in. And I talked to my wife and I find out how some of these kids behave when they get in school. And I pointed to my daughter, Abby. I said, Abby, look at this. These little kids come running up to get some ice cream from our truck. I said, Abby, are you going to put Reese in school with them?
Yeah.
And she just looked at me. I said, that's what you're doing. Would you drop off Reese right here, right now, and let her play all day and come back and pick her up? When you go into the public schools, you're putting Reese in school with these kids all day. You think that's a good idea? I didn't have to say much else. We've been programmed, Roger. You're right. It's not going to affect my kid. I'll take care of my own kid. I'll baptize my own kid. We'll send them to Sunday school. We'll keep them in church. And then when they go to college, they won't be our kids anymore. That's kind of what's happening.
We've got a family member who told me to stop sending him some of my articles. And he was just too busy because of work and, you know, things. They're having another baby and they're just focusing on their kids. Yep. I didn't respond, but I wanted to respond. Young man, you better set some time aside the culture that your kids are growing into and going to go to, you know.
Well, that's
set some time aside.
That's the theme of this show. I can't get away from it no matter how hard I try. Bless you, Raj. Maybe you can get in there when somebody drops out. Come in Hebrews because I want to. Guys, this isn't where I was going. I swear it isn't. But let's go there. I'm in Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times in a diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The same God has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So God, Jesus comes down. He pays for our sin. He sets us free from the power of sin, death, hell, and the grave. He goes up and sits down beside his daddy. So it says, get that picture there. He sat down to the right hand of the majesty on high. being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance attained a much more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels he said at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he said, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. We're ministers, we're a flame of fire. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. There's that kingdom word. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated sin. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above the fellows. And the Lord, and thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Thou shalt perish, they shall perish, but you remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou hold them up, and that shall not be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Stay with me. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thee thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So he's saying, listen, the angels are below God Jesus. He sat down. He's given order to the angels. And what are the angels? They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. I'm an heir of salvation. I'm ministering angels working on my behalf. That's what prayer is all about. Go to the next chapter, Jared, because I'm going to show you something. Remember, there's no chapter break. Not when this letter is being written. He says, because of that, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, then how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He says, if the angels are accountable, how do we think we're going to get away from it? If the Lord has offered us so great a salvation, why do we think he's going to show us mercy if we reject it? That's what it says. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Oh, man. Where am I lost? Did Jared move me? For unto the angels hath he put into subjection the world to come. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, wherever we speak. But one in certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That's a psalm. So the Son of Man, thou visitest them. You made them a little lower than the angels, man. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Man is over the works of God's hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Stay with me. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, while I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For so much then, here we go, as the children of the partaker, as the children, talking about us, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Watch this. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. Man, oh man, oh man. He has delivered us from the ultimate fear. Is the fear of death. What do you got to be afraid of, boys? What are we afraid of? Paul said it'd be better for me to go. So I wish I could go be with the Lord, but I'm going to stay here for your sake. Well, why are we here? Why does it say in Ecclesiastes that the day of your birth's better than the day of your death's better than the day of your birth? Why does it say that? What are we afraid of? We're afraid, as Rich said, we love the world too much. We don't want to lose our stuff. And so it paralyzes us and holds us down. Man, that came up out of my belly, living water. Anybody got a comment? What are you afraid of? Christian men. It's almost, what's the word I'm looking for? It only makes sense. It only makes sense. It's cosmic, cognitive dissonance to be filled with the Holy Spirit and afraid. Those two things can't be. Faith and fear can't abide in the same heart. How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and fearful? What do you got to fear? Death, where you don't die. You're born again, you don't die. Go ahead, Mike.
We've allowed our minds and our imagination to run down rabbit holes that don't need to be there.
We think
so much about these things that may never even happen, but we imagine them to happen. So that's why we sit in fear. It's when you can sit in the mind of Christ that did Jesus have any fear walking through the evil that was around him? No.
Well, he may have, Michael, but he understood the authority and he walked in his authority. Fear is natural. See, I tell people when I go to the streets, of course I'm afraid. Of course I am, but I overcome it. It's not a bite my nails fear, but it's an anxiety. It's certainly a fear, an unknown, fear of the unknown. That's always there. And Jesus certainly had that fear. He was smart enough to look around. They want to kill him. He understood that, but he walked in his authority. He wasn't paralyzed by his fear. He moved forward. When he went into the garden, he prayed, Lord, don't take us away from it. I don't want to do this. Man, I don't really want to do this. Is there another way, Lord? Is there any other way that you can do this, Dad? I want to serve you. Can you do it another way? And finally, he came up out and said, okay, let's go, man. Let's go. He struggled with it. We all struggle with that. But we can't be paralyzed by our fear. And what's our fear of? Our fear is, I'm going to lose this. I'm going to lose this. I'm going to lose this. It's always about what you're going to lose, never about what you're going to gain. See, when I go to the streets thinking what I'm going to gain, not what I'm going to lose. It's like Flip Benham says. So listen, I go to the abortion clinic. They throw me in jail. The Lord put me in a jail ministry. Listen, we have to be aggressively thinking about this. Trust in the Lord always. Move forward and quit worrying about losing our stuff and what is it they're going to take from us. Mike, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I had to get it out of me.
That's what it's all about is letting the Spirit of God speak through you, because when you have fear, it's nothing bad about being fearful. It's what you do with the fear. Are you going to let it overpower you, or are you going to challenge it?
So there's nothing wrong with being afraid, Michael, but there's something wrong with staying afraid. Those two are not the same thing, see? And I don't understand. I don't want to be at the end of my life and look back and say, you know, I should have done that, but damn it, I was afraid. I was afraid.
Hey, Coach,
I was afraid. Yeah, Larry.
Doesn't the Bible tell us to be of good courage?
That's right.
Courage does not exist without fear.
You got it. That's the only way you face it, man. It's how you overcome it. Not I commanded you? Be strong. Be of good courage. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. For I'm with you wherever I go. He said, the only reason you don't have to be afraid of those things, I'm with you wherever you go. See, come on, man. Yeah, Rog.
Well, you know, what I'm afraid of, and I say this really for myself and others, I do fear at times, how is this going to affect my pocketbook? You know?
Sure.
How, you know, my heart knows that it is what is right. I believe we need to be out in the culture more. But I think I'm a pretty normal guy. You know, I think that I struggle at times with, well, do I want to be out front? You know, who might see me there?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Who of influence?
Yeah.
Either that will remember that I was there. And
when in fact the Lord's watching, and He knows whether you're there or not.
And then I balance that, and what's shaking is I've always had a philosophy in business that God knows where my door is. You know, He knows where my office door is, and I've never gone without. I mean, but that's. That is a feeling even I, on the huddle and enthusiastic. It's like, well, you know, wow, how public do I want to be? Now, if I think that in my little world of trying to grow as a man, I think, okay, the people I'm in church with on Sunday, and I don't say this in a manner of building me up, but they're not even in the game. I mean, I'm at least thinking, and kind of wanting to participate and growing and maturing in my own sin and my own mistakes. How many people are to the others? You know, I'm on the other side of you, maybe. How many are on the other side of me?
A lot of them. Yeah. See, here's why martyrdom is so much more common outside of the United States of America. They don't have anything to lose. Christ is all they have. See, we got nice houses and nice cars and nice lives and nice golf clubs and golf carts. We got all the nice things. We've got a lot more to lose. That's why the Lord said, you can't serve two kingdoms, two masters. You can't serve your job and me. You can't do both. Now, you can take your job and I can work through it. But if you think that by serving me, it's going to cost you your job, you got it upside down, baby. You got it the wrong way. You're a dead man. So I was struck. Yep, go ahead. It's good, isn't it? It's good.
Hey, yeah, George.
Yeah, George.
Hey, real quick. You know, I think sometimes we forget
that. We're not hearing you, George. Hey, George, you're freezing up, man. I don't know whether it's your end or my end. Mute him, Jared. I don't know what's going on with the internet there, Georgie, but we sound like you were drunk. Worse than that. Maybe you can straighten it out so we can hear you, because I know what you had to say is very, very, very valuable. Listen, I'm going to show you a couple clips here on Trump. Something that really pumped me up that I think is important for us to see here. What would America be like if Christians had the boldness of Donald Trump? What would America be like? And you know what? We love to criticize him, right? I heard somebody saying the other day, I could show you a clip here. Well, he's not acting very presidential. He's not acting very presidential at all. And I'm thinking, the hell does that mean? What does that mean? You mean he don't act like them other phonies? Is that what you're telling me? He don't act like all them? Or what? How about this one? You're not acting like a Christian. You're not acting very Christian. What does that mean? What's the example for Christianity? Jesus is my ultimate example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And see, they want to put us in a box of what behavior is supposed to be like. Now, Donald Trump, listen, folks, I want you to don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? Do not hear what I'm not saying. I'm going to tell you. Trump went yesterday to NATO. He went to NATO. What did he do at NATO? I'm going to show you here. What did he do at NATO? He did at NATO what he promised us he was going to do. He's going to call them out. And all those guys from all of NATO are standing before him. And you know what he says in front of you? You're going to see it here in a minute. He says, you bunch of cheapskates. 28 of you ain't even paying your bills. We're doing all the work and ain't none of you paying your bills. And this crap's got to stop. That's what Trump said. They're all standing there listening to him say it, right? Now, what do we hear from Rachel Maddow and that crew? Well, he's not being very presidential. He's being rude to those guys. Yeah, no kidding. He is. What if Christian men acted like that? What if our pulpits acted like that? And then you got to watch what happens. I got two things here I'm going to show you. Because then Trump, not only is he not acting presidential. Don't miss this. Are you looking at me? He's walking in authority. Don't miss that. You just did. It went right over you. He's walking in authority as president of the United States. Now, think about this a second. He's got all these NATO leaders there. You're going to see them all lined up like ducks. And you know what every one of those little ducks know? All those little ducks know Trump is large and in charge. They all know it. They know he holds the purse strings. It's like who's your daddy? They know Trump is their daddy because he's controlling everything financially. And so he walks into the room. He's going to bust these guys out. And then he's going to say, hey, boys, I'm your daddy. And you know what? They all know it. Because why? He's walking in the authority of President of the United States. And these folks are bowing once again, good or bad, to the United States of America. Now, Trump told us when he was running for president that NATO had to start carrying its weight. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I got three little videos I want to show you here. Minute 38 seconds. Watch Donald Trump with all. Imagine these are the presidents of every nation. standing before Trump. Imagine this. And they are, NATO was designed to protect America, protect Europe from Russia. And so here we are, all these guys there who are sucking off the teat, if you will. Watch Trump. See if this seems presidential to you. Rachel Maddow doesn't think it is. Or see if you see him walking in the authority of one who pays the bills. Go ahead, Jared.
The NATO of the future must include a great focus on terrorism and immigration, as well as threats from Russia and on NATO's eastern and southern borders. These grave security concerns are the same reason that I have been very, very direct with Secretary Stoltenberg and members of the alliance.
There they are. There they stand.
Members must finally contribute their fair share and meet their financial obligations.
Look at those little children.
But 23 of the 28 member nations
are still paying
what they should be paying and what they are supposed to be paying for their defense.
This is
they're
uncomfortable
to the people and taxpayers of the United States.
He's not being very presidential, is he?
Owe massive amounts of money from past years, and not in those past.
Talking about those guys standing over there in line.
Is the bare minimum for confronting.
Look at them. I bet they want to go hide.
Very real and very vicious threats. If NATO countries made their full and complete contributions, then NATO would be even stronger than it is today, especially from the threat of terrorism.
So there he busts them out. He don't point at him, but it's like saying, you know, he hadn't paid, and he hadn't paid, and he hadn't paid, and he hadn't paid. He had 23 of the 28 of you. You ain't paid. You've been riding on us. I'm walking in the authority as president of the United States. I ain't acting like president. I'm paying the bills. I'm large and in charge. And you dudes, things are going to change. Now, they get really, really, really uncomfortable. They don't like it. They never been spoken to like that. And MSNBC say, well, he's not being very presidential. Damn right he isn't. He isn't being very presidential. He's calling him out. Said, hey, this thing, it ain't going to be like this anymore. Now, Jared, I want you to see something else. This is what, oh, this is awesome. Jared, this is only about, this isn't very long. So now watch this. So hold it right there, Jared. I don't know if you saw this or not. The media has gone crazy over this. Trump walking in the authority as president of the United States, as the man who's large and in charge, as the man who's paying all the bills against those little wants. Now, I want you to watch. They call for the press conference. You ought to watch the Young Turks and what they said. You ought to watch Maddow and what they said about how he's not presidential. And he's rude. And he's egotistical. I want you to watch Trump walks up. And he is going to grab one of these leaders, the leader of NATO, I think is the guy. Trump grabs him, puts his hand out, pushes him back, and Trump walks in front of him, walking in authority, not acting very presidential. See, they want us to be like Obama and bend over and let them have us, right? That's what they want us to do. Watch Trump walk in authority here, and the news goes nuts. Go ahead, Jared. Here he comes. Here he comes. Shoves him out of the way. Said, I'm here, man. I'm large and in charge. And look at him. Huh? They're all little puppies. They're all little puppies. Ain't nobody barking at him. It's like those skunks I got out. Here's wandering around, man. He's walking in authority. Walking in authority. He walked to the front and center, and they all know it too, man. He just spanked them all. Remember? He just spanked them all. And now he walks to the front. Yes, you can cut that off, Jared. Go ahead, Raj.
Their freedom is because of our greatness.
Absolutely.
Nation, with its pimples, with its little scabs at times, but their freedom is because of our greatness as a nation. And there is no doubt in my mind at all, if Christians would stand up and shove a few people aside, that God
Amen.
And our culture would change. Could you imagine? The 30% of the Bible-believing Christians en masse showed up on voter day and said, we're not taking some of these things anymore. They would control every legislature in the country.
That's right. And how long would it take us to end abortion? About 28 seconds. Go ahead, Larry. Are you trying to get in here, or are you just giving thumbs up? Because I want to move to the next phase here yet. Somebody has something to say. Go ahead. I'm not done yet.
I was just rubbing my eyes.
Okay. You guys, you recognize authority? Yeah. You recognize authority there, right? Good, Mike.
Coach, the thing is that God had to put something in front of us to show us what we should really be. You know, he's a street fighter. He really is. That New York style that he has is what we all need to return to. That our fathers fought in war and saved America and the world that was going to pot because of the Nazi thing. But the point is that we need to stand up and fight back. That's what we need now.
Michael, so here's the message. See, Donald Trump knows who he represents. He knows he's president of the United States. He knows that everybody around him is depending on him. He knows that not one of those little crackers there is going to say anything to him because he has the ability to cut off their funds. They know that. You know what else? He knows it. Now, listen to me. This isn't arrogance. This is walking in the authority, walking in it. Hey, boys, you going to take our money? Then get in line. Here's the way things are going to be now. So listen, Christians, that's what we are supposed to see. We are so caught up in being in humility. Oh, we have to be more humble. No. We have to establish the authority. And once we establish the authority, Donald Trump is not powerful because he's Donald Trump. He's powerful because he's president of the United States. I am not powerful because I'm Coach Dave. I'm powerful because I'm a representative of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I walk in that authority, not in my own strength, not in my own power, not in my own glory, but somebody has to be his spokesman. So I walk in that authority. Don't you see the comparison of the two here? Don't we see it? All Amen. Power, all authority has been given unto me. Us. It's been given unto us. All of it's been given unto us. And it's time we stood up and said, nope. Ain't going like that no more. Sorry. Ain't going like that no more. That's what we have to do. Church has to arise and exert itself. So I got another clip that I got to show you. Be careful because this has a curse word in it. Jared, go to my Facebook page because I just want to show you. This is the reaction. You never see this stuff, okay? You never see this, but this is the reaction. If you weren't programmed by the mainstream media that Trump isn't acting presidential, this would be your reaction. And see, they won't show this kind of stuff. I just found this on Facebook. It's minute 30, and yes, he's going to say a dirty word. But watch how this guy reacts to what we just saw Donald Trump say. And it's got 111,667 views since yesterday afternoon. Watch what this guy recognizes. Go ahead, Jared.
There's always a time when I'd have shaved, I haven't, you know, got myself camera ready, that I got to do a video. Did y'all see President Trump push his ass out the way? I'm sitting up and frying some chicken, right? I'm frying some chicken and I hear in the background, a video that has gone viral. President Trump had pushed the NATO leader. I look on the TV, man. Here he is. He walking the NATO leader. You know, he talked after Donald Trump done invited all of them got together, right? And our Trump done talked about their ass real bad, right? And then you know told them how they need to pay their fair share and whatnot. And then, you know, they walking away. You know, he talking about Trump. You know, he probably was talking about, you know, so, you know, whatever he's saying, probably calling him low down and, you know, this, that, and other. Trump walked up past this punk ass and get your ass out the way. Move, bitch. Get out the way. Barack Obama would have never done no shit like that. Go Trump, baby. Go Trump, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Push his punk ass out the way.
person recognized finally someone walking in the authority of the American people, right? Somebody walking in the authority of our power. Now, we could say all we want to about Trump and his arrogance and how prideful he is. Folks, get beyond that. The Lord is showing us a picture of the authority we should be walking in. And people outside who are not watching MSNBC and not watching CNN, they're saying, yes, dude, yes, I get it now.
Dave?
Yeah, yeah.
So what all happened out in Montana with the congressman out there in that incident.
Yeah.
But people are drawn, and I don't know all the facts, but they are drawn to a man that says, enough. Enough.
That's enough. That's right.
The key thing, chicks dig guys that are strong. So if you want chicks, you ought to say enough publicly. But guy in Montana, enough. And he wins by 7 percentage points.
Is that something, Roger? Because they were telling us all day yesterday he was going to lose. Oh, he's so manly. Oh, we don't like that. He grabbed that dude and threw it. Even that was all a lie, right? People, I'm telling you, folks, we are sitting on a spiritual time bomb if our eyes will open and understand the times in which we live. When people see, there are going to be those who say, we can't vote for this guy. I just called it up here. Jared, let me send this to you, Jared. I don't know if you have it or not, because I want people to see what we're talking about. This guy out in Montana had to have a special election to fill the spot of someone who just got appointed in the Trump administration. So the spot's open. This is the fourth one now. And the media keeps telling us that, boy, they're not going to win. That the Republicans are going to lose here because people are tired of Trump. And so this guy, who knows what, I just sent it to you, Jared. Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name. Two nights ago, he, according to reports, he body slammed somebody. Now, we know he didn't. We know he didn't. But that's what they said. They bought, oh, we can't have him. He's not acting like he's a president. He's not acting like a leader. Leaders don't do that kind of, no, no. He's going down for sure. He's going down. You can't treat people like that. We need to be civil. We know he's going down. What happened? Why? Republican wins Montana election after one night after being charged with assault. People are sick and tired of it. They're saying, yes, a fighter. Go, dude, go. That's the times in which we live. And I'm telling you, that's the heart cry. That should be the heart cry of Christian men.
A lot of people don't know that that reporter had months earlier fabricated news and accusations against the very same about some horrible stuff that the reporter claimed he had done and fabricated evidence to back it up. And it was all a bunch of lies.
Hey, folks, and don't miss this.
No wonder that candidate was fed up with that reporter.
That's right. And by the way, the guy broke into a private meeting, and that's what brought the whole thing about. Scroll down, Jared, up top. Go back to the top. I want to show you something. See, folks, listen. Like I said, the Lord's everywhere. If you begin to look at things with spirit eyes, stay right there, Jared. Begin to look at things with spirit eyes. You're going to see it differently. Look, if you're looking at the screen right now, see the guy with the cowboy hat on? See that? That's the liberal Democrat. That's the liberal Democrat that was running in Montana that was trying to convince everybody he was a man. So he's trying to be a cowboy and wear a cowboy hat and talk tough. And here he's involved in porn. He's involved in nudist colonies. He's as lefty liberal. See, the devil's team can't run as the devil's team. They can only run and win getting as close as they can to God. They don't want God, but they want to have values that seem like they're from God. So this guy in Montana, there with that cowboy hat on, liberal lefty loon. Oh, he's Mr. Cowboy now. Didn't work for him, did it? Didn't work. Who won? The dude who took the other dude to the ground. That's who won. Come on, folks, open our eyes and see what's going on. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. Do you understand that Trump was violent against those guys? He never lifted a finger. He never did anything to anybody, but he was violent over there in NATO. And what's everybody saying? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. He's not being very presidential. Hey, Rod, you know what I hear all the time? He's not being very Christ-like. Oh, yeah? You serve the God you see. Somebody weigh in here. It's 10 till already. Are you kidding me? Yeah, yeah.
Is president of the United States. He is not a pastor. He is not a leader of a church. He's the president of our government. And our job of our government is to protect us and to look out for us. It is not.
Amen.
It is not the spreading of the gospel.
That's, no, it isn't. And that is, and what did he say, Roger? He said, we don't win anymore. America don't win anymore.
So tired of these pastors thinking that the major role of government is to share Jesus. That is not the major role of government.
Amen. Amen.
Is to protect its people. The role of the church is to share the gospel.
Yeah, unless the government gets too big, and then we let them change the gospel. Anybody else jump in here? What do you think, George? You broke up earlier. You were trying to say something earlier. Keep you on the road.
Yeah, Coach, what I was saying is I think we often forget that the enemy, people like George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, you know what? They have fear, too. They have innate fear, just like we do. But you know what? A lot of times when they're not challenged because Christian men are overall being very apathetic, their fear doesn't have a chance to manifest. And so, you know what? That's all the more reason we should be bold and not sit back and be passive.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Sometimes the people that shout the most are the most fearful, too.
Yeah, bravado. False bravado. I'm going to tell you this. You looking at me, folks? I love the Lord my God with all of my heart, all of my mind, and all of my soul. I do. And it's amazing to me, as I said yesterday on the show, I'm not bragging. You don't run into folks like me very often that carry their faith on their sleeve, on their head, that wear their faith on the head. And what happens as a result of it? Some love me and some hate me. But you know what? I ain't got much confusion. I know which ones are which. And I really don't care because I'm walking in the authority of Christ. So I have to ask myself right here, why they get right down the road about 4 miles from me is a public high school. Why are they teaching homosex in my public high school? Explain that one to me. Huh? Why are they teaching that we came from monkeys down at that school that I pay for? Why are they doing that? Oh, I know why. Because I've been being Christian. I've been off of my prayer crawls of being Christian and loving them and tolerating them. See, they've stolen our kingdom. They've stolen the kingdom of God. They've stolen it right from us, and we don't get it. We don't get it. Okay, I got one more clip. This is awesome. I'm sorry, those of you who are listening, you're going to have to go to the website and watch this clip. It's 2 minutes because it is, except for the music, silent. And I want to paint a picture for you what you're going to see. Jared, that pulled up. I think it says Universal Deceit. Yeah. Okay, now, folks, I want you to watch this because this is today's America. Now, those of you who aren't watching, it's a cartoon. And in this cartoon, everyone in the cartoon except one little guy, everybody has their cell phone out. Everybody's looking at their cell phone screen. Everybody's doing everything on their cell phones, right? And you're going to watch this little guy as he goes around. All these things are going on. All these problems are going on, and everybody is looking at their cell phone. And not only is everybody looking at their cell phone, they're videoing what's going on, and they're taking pictures of what's going on, and they're Facebooking what's going on. And he's running around looking, what's up? Come on, what's up here? What's up? And nobody's paying any attention because they're all looking at their cell phone. This is powerful. It's 2 minutes. It's silent except for the news. And if you if you're listening right now, you don't get a chance to see it. Jared will post it up on our website. Go and get it. It's called Welcome to the Happy World of Everlasting Deceit. Go ahead, Jared. This There's the star, that little guy. Now, I suggest this. Go back and look at this. It's going to be posted on our website. Go back and slowly look at the different situations that this little guy ends up in. And it is just a microcosm of exactly what's going on in America. See, everybody sees what's going on. In fact, they're videoing it. They're sharing it on Facebook. They're hitting the like button. We're aware. But to all of us, it's like a fake world. It's just like a fake world. This is all going on around us, and we're recording it, and we're analyzing it. But we're not spurred to do anything about it. This little guy's running around trying to wake people up, and everybody's looking at their video cameras. Everybody. And so we find ourselves in a situation where the average guy who has the authority of, as Donald Trump walked into authority, the average guy has that authority to be able to do it. We're not exercising it. What have I got here? I got 2 minutes. Anybody want to help bring it home here?
The truth is that cell phone controls everything. I've seen people sitting in restaurants, sitting next to one another, supposedly in love, and they're texting.
That's right. Well, they showed the knight in shining armor. He was right there. And they were texting. They weren't even talking to each other. Jim Kraft just sent me, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than against us.
Amen.
Huh? Boys, it's time for Christians to awaken. It's time for Christians to walk in the authority of God, just as we saw Trump walk in the authority of the President of the United States. It's time for us to stop playing church, and time for us to be the church. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday.